Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If I dare, I'm going to bring on the line with you a great guest. She's a returning guest and a very accomplished financial planner. And I'm very glad she's a far, far, far away from my office, because she would be one heck of a competitor. So thank you, Kimberly Foss, for not being in my neck of the woods, and welcome back.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me back again, David.
You're very welcome. And Kimberly comes to us with the Certified Financial Planner designation. She's also a Certified Private Wealth Advisor, founder of Empyrean Wealth Management. That's the name of her company, EmpyreanWealth.com and KimberlyFoss.com. And she's written the book, Wealth by Design, A Five-Step Plan for Financial Security. And Beth found her that she had written a couple things recently. She's also a writer for financial planning, and she's written a couple of interesting articles we want to get a little bit of perspective with her on. And Kimberly's history, if you look at her on the internet, you won't believe this, but she just confessed to me she's got 30 years in the industry. That's a lot of time.
When you start when you're five,
yes,
it works out that way.
Drafted right out of kindergarten. Okay. All right. Well, here's what's cool about Kimberly. She was, and this is impressive. You know, you get to throw this around. I mean, this is a pretty cool thing. You began your career as the youngest female account executive at that time with Merrill Lynch.
Yes, and that's what they called us back in the day, right? So I'm definitely dating myself. But yes, popped right out of college at 21 and got my first job. But back then, David, you know, they had a quota to fill. So I was told that I was filling a quota at that
time. Nice. Yeah, that's a good boost for employee morale. Hey,
sure,
you're just filling a quota. Well, I'm glad that, I'm hoping that that's not the case anymore. But listen, I know you've moved on. You have your own company, and you have been recognized with being one of the top advisors in the country. So good for you.
Well, thank you very much.
So let's get some. I know it's a lot of work, because that's what it takes. And let's get some mileage out of all that experience and being drafted right out of kindergarten to go to work at with Merrill Lynch. So let's talk about, I know you wrote about this recently in the publication. And again, really pleased to see Kimberly writing in financial planning. And that's financial-planning.com is the website, if I remember correctly. And we want to tackle a subject that is kind of touchy. A lot of people don't want to talk about it, but Kim's talking about it, and I'm glad she is. And it's the subject of prenups. And, you know, from our perspective, mine and Kimberly, we, of course, are seeing the financial world and how it relates to people's marriages and then sometimes their divorces. And so you've got some tips for people, Kimberly, that they can be mindful of. And I guess, you know, the first thing is, for a lot of people, it isn't on their mind, and whether they've been married before or not, it's just not something they think about naturally, is it? Because they're caught up in the whole romance of the relationship.
Yeah, it's a really compelling statistic when you've got, you know, more than half the nation, and in California, that's even higher, you know, at the divorce rate, and folks will walk down the aisle and, you know, pardon, I know this is probably a family show, but jump into bed with each other with no hesitation. But, oh my gosh, talk about a prenuptial? Heaven no. Big, you know, red flag. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's...
But the reality is of that is that, you know, with the divorce rate is high, we need to be talking about this. And with the transfer of wealth that's going to happen, David, in the next 10 years with women,
sure,
women inheriting money from inheritance, divorce, and just a wealth transfer, they're the ones that are going to be in control. So it's not only for the men, but for the women as well in the future.
Well, maybe they'll be the ones filling their quotas and getting the well, it's such a taboo subject, and I love the way you frame it, because people do jump literally into these relationships, and then this whole subject of prenuptial agreements is so taboo. It's like, you know, just for somebody to bring it up, it's like, I don't trust you, or I'm expecting this relationship not to last. And, you know, I know there's a lot of different angles with this, but it's really, I think it's a reality of so many different things. One, you talk about the wealth transfer. You talk, there's also the natural part of this with women having their own financial identities. And I know that your backstory, you had been brought up in a family where I think the bio that I read for you is a pretty remarkable story of having started out from being one of six children. You were the youngest of six children in a household without not a lot of income.
No, there wasn't. My father was a carpenter, just like Jesus. And my mother was an Avon lady, and there were six children spanning 20 years between my oldest sibling and myself. So they're just, and my dad, it wasn't a union. He just, I don't think he made more than $22,000 in a year. So we didn't have a lot, but that's where my desire to create wealth. But you have to protect that as well. And like I say, women with their earning capacity going over the next 10 years, that's really important as well as men. So this is just taboo. I mean, one of the tips is, it's not romantic to talk about prenups, but just get over it. Get over it.
Yeah, and that's why I brought up your story about where you came from and look at where you are today, with a successful financial planning practice. And it's changed a lot over the years, and your story is a perfect one, Kimberly. So, this is a subject that people need to deal with, and they got to, like you said, get over it and embrace it. And, so let's get into some of the tips. I guess the first thing you mentioned is for people to get a head start. So are you suggesting that they bring this in as an early part of the conversation, or once they do start having serious conversations with their soon-to-be or potentially their spouse that, I guess when's the timing of the conversation? When do they do that? Is it with this ring? And then, by the way, when you talk about documents?
No, I mean, actually, it's a very, very good question to ask. And the time to negotiate a prenup or to start talking about it is really when the relationship gets serious. So if you're, getting engaged at that time, that's the time really to start talking about a prenup. Because, usually you're going to have at least 6 to 12 months to plan the wedding. You need a minimum of 6 months for a prenup, because it's really, and in some cases, especially California, you have to have a certain time requirement so the other person can look over the document, mm-hmm. take it to their attorney, then you guys can come back and negotiate together. Otherwise, you could be signing under duress, and then that could spell a whole different set of circumstances should the marriage end divorce. So my advice to my clients that are getting engaged, and I just had one not too long ago, is that give it a good 6 months so that you can do this properly and you don't have to have anything under duress.
Okay. Well, yeah, I've heard the duress part before, Kimberly, and that's a great point because, hey, we've sent out the invitations, we picked out the dress, and by the way, here's the documents. Now you've got the other person kind of over a barrel, and they can't really negotiate freely without this pressure, and that creates an uneven playing field, and of course, the attorneys in courts don't like that, and mm-hmm. that would really unravel the whole point. So if you're going to do it at all, you've got to do it with proper timing and hey, look, that's just be considerate, right? I mean, if you're going to ask for a prenuptial agreement, you got to be considerate in the process.
Well, and it's all in how you frame it, David. I mean, if you frame it as a defensive move, like you're, oh my gosh, I don't know how she's going to react to this, I don't know how he's going to react to this, and it's defensive. If that's in your mind, that's what's going to be perceived by the other person. You need to be very proactive about it. And, like even with my own daughter, I mean, my husband and I have prenups, and of course, my second marriage, and I had it with my first marriage as well. But with my own daughter, who's 23, with her relationship, I mean, I tell her to talk about it even now. Just in course of the conversation, oh, my parents have a prenup, because mm-hmm. this. It sets that tone ahead of time, so there's no surprise. I mean, it's the element of surprise that catches people off guard, right?
Yeah. Well, and I love, you make an outstanding point, Kimberly, and it's all in how you say it. And if you say, look, hey, here's the point of this. If, let's go into this with our eyes open. Let's be clear about what we have and make sure there's no surprises down the road. I think it's good for us to know what each other has. And this is all a way of doing it. But one of the things, I know you made a point about this when you wrote your article, and this is that, this also provides a way that if things don't work out, I want you to know up front that, I want to make sure that you and I both are taken care of financially if one of us needs to kind of help the other out. I mean, it's just a nice, soft, and hopefully genuine way of framing this up so it's not perceived as a defensive mechanism or an accusation or even subtle hint that you think the other person's a gold digger.
That's it's an important point, David, and you make that note. It's like actually number two is that you know, manage the romantics. And I did this with a client just recently. You know, I taught him to be able to communicate it to his fiance in a way that, as you point out, hey, in the event that, God forbid, our marriage doesn't work out and statistics are, you know, X, you don't want to give that to them. But, you know, then I'm going to take care of you and the girls and this kind of thing. This is how we're going to do it, so that it alleviates her fear of what's going to happen down the road. So you just have to frame it that way.
Well, listen, Kimberly, if you can help guys speak well and articulate their emotions and wrap the finances all into that, you've got quite a second career ahead of you.
I don't know if I go that far, David, but we are trying to at least speak clearly and speak transparently. And, you know, when that happens, uncertainty is removed and people feel much more trustworthy.
And that's how you start or build a great relationship. Just joining us, Kimberly Foss is our guest today, certified financial planner and certified private wealth advisor. She's written the book, Wealth by Design, a five-step plan for financial security, and you can get more information over at KimberlyFoss.com. We'll grab a quick break, come back, pick up a few more tips on the prenup, and we'll come right back. Stay right there.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN, or visit planstronger.com for more information.
Hey there, welcome back. Kimberly Foss on the line with me, making some time for us out of her very busy schedule, and she's done a lot of talking. She's been on a lot of programs. Today's show, Good Morning America, CNBC, Fox News, and quoted in the Wall Street Journal, MSN Money, Forbes, Investor Business Daily, U.S. News and World Report, and Lucky Us, Real Money with David Holland as well. And we're going to pick back up our conversation about prenups. You know, the other thing that I, as you very well know, Kimberly, in your own practice, is that things change, especially when it comes to finances. So is another important thing we need to add into the whole prenup and prenup documents, not only the conversation, but the actual documents that are executed, is some flexibility?
Yeah, absolutely, especially in today's society with Gen X and millennials, and the wealth that they're coming into, you know, say the Googles and the Facebooks of the world, when they're working and their earning capacity goes up, you got to allow it the flexibility. So, you know, and 10 years down the road is different maybe than when you first got married. So you want to be able to write certain things in there. Say, like, the stay-at-home spouse might become now the primary breadwinner. Well, that changes things. So you want to write in flexibility so that you can look at this 10 years down the road and perhaps change some items in there to make sure both spouses are protected.
Mm. Okay, that's good, because, I mean, I can imagine different things unfolding and you have to be able to adjust. What about provisions or aspects to this that go beyond money?
Well, you know, another one is, which is becoming huge these days in adding into the prenup, is not just about money, but the social aspects, like social media clauses, basically saying disparaging comments about one another on social media, and actually prohibiting those to be posted should it end in divorce. I mean, that's becoming huge in the prenup agreement.
That's amazing. The world is evolving, and it's there's just no end to the ways that you could smear your ex. Now you got social media to help. Yeah, you know, it's a good point, especially if the people involved are professionals or business people or entrepreneurs. That's the last thing. I mean, you're not just talking about just gossip and smearing up somebody's name and, you know, maybe affecting relationships, but you're talking about actually potential economic damages that could be incurred as a result either to somebody's personal brand and business or whatever the case may be.
Which is exactly why they're being written into prenuptial agreements. So it kind of gives guidelines to what you can and can't do after the marriage dissolves. So, I mean, you got to think beyond just the money.
Well, and I guess there's things even you're putting in clauses about, you know, we're going to do these kinds of things. I guess setting some expectations and We're going to do, if you had them put in things about how they're going to live when they're married, like vacations and things like that.
Well, that's another thing, too, that they're adding into, like maybe they're, you know, outlining what joint finances look like, what their financial goals together maybe would look like, what their investment strategy. Let's say one's a day trader and the other one really is a long-term wealth accumulator. That would be an issue. My first marriage was like that. My ex-husband was a day trader, and it was just, we're financially incompatible. We believe in totally different polarized worlds, but which is probably something I should have thought about before I got married. But I didn't really know that at that time. I was pretty young.
Yeah.
But those things need to be really written into the contracts now, as well as just like even vacations. You know, how many vacations? If you have two busy adults, how many vacations are we going to take a year?
Is there any way I can get like a post-nuptial agreement, get my wife to go on vacation?
I was just going to say, you know, going back to number four, which is the flexibility one, you may want to think about a post-nuptial agreement. After 10 years, typically things change. My husband and I are thinking about, you know, having what maybe things have changed so much in from an earnings capacity, you want to write up a post-nuptial agreement, which there's no harm that as long as you both agree and you're not signed under duress and you go through the proper channels of the legal agreement, it's absolutely acceptable.
Mm, okay. Well, I mean, the flexibility's got to be there because life does evolve and things do change. Now, what if somebody's having a hard time, Kimberly? You know, I guess either getting up the gumption to do this or maybe they're facing some resistance. What are some other ideas here for, you know, maybe moving the ball down the field, so to speak, with the prenuptial?
Well, now you can always, you know, refer to the star power. I always say, you know, one of the examples I use is Gabrielle Union to her husband, the NBA star Dwayne Wade, and they signed a prenuptial agreement in 2014. And she basically asked to protect her earnings because she didn't want to be called the gold digger, and she had her own earning capacity. Like, again, we go back to that stat about the women inheriting quite a bit of wealth, the biggest wealth transfer in the next 10 years. Women are now concerned about, you know, protecting their earnings and their ability to continue with life, especially usually because of the fact that we typically have physical responsibility to the children, want to be able to maintain that lifestyle. So, you know, she specifically put into her contract that, you know, her earnings were protected. And, you know, she won, you know, I earned this prior to my marriage, and, you know, this is what I'm going to keep. And so it protects both sides. But even if people aren't celebrities, and, you know, obviously most of us aren't celebrities out there like they are, but, you know, my non-celebrity clients, what I like to tell them is, like, look, you know what, you buy car insurance, you buy homeowners insurance. You never buy it hoping your house is going to burn down, right?
Good point,
I mean,
that's
just ludicrous.
Right.
So, you know, I call this as insurance for a healthy, safe marriage. You never have a prenup hoping that you're going to end a divorce, but thank God you have it in the event that you do. And again, with statistics, you know, the statistics of your house burning down are much, much lower than the statistics of getting a divorce in this country. So,
well,
you know, it basically spells out what will happen and actually makes it more of an amicable divorce. And if children are involved, that makes everything calmer. It makes the delusion much easier. And it's just a way to, you know, uncouple, if you will, the coupling that you have been for the last 10 years. And that's good for everybody in relationships, because even if you do get divorced, if you have children, you're still going to co-parent. And
right.
You want, you know, those children are the most important thing. So if we have a document that says this is what we're going to do, A, B, C, and D, hey, it's very clear.
Well, that does make it clear. And, you know, the other thing that's been going on, Kimberly, is we've seen this quote-unquote graying of divorce, because more and more at older ages, not only do you have the overall statistic of about half, but then you also have these older divorces, which are, you know, it's a surging statistic because it's accelerating, and that's putting a whole other angle to this whole divorce thing. And the people that are older do tend to have more assets, so just another reason for this to be an important part of those conversations, and especially for the second marriages.
Absolutely, and you know that statistic is staggering, David. I mean, from 1990 until today, the divorce rate amongst baby boomers has surged to 73%.
Good grief. Yeah. And if you're in California, it's probably 95%.
No, I mean, forget it. You know, move to another state. That's what I say. Just don't move to another state. You have a higher probability of success, right?
Oh, boy.
But it really is. The numbers are staggering. So it really, you know, you don't want to look at the stats, but you really need to be smart and proactive, you know, if you're going to move forward. And you do want to have this then over and done with. Nobody who's gone through a divorce ever wants to go through it again, and you want it to be done as quick as possible, as amicable as possible, that you can move on with a happier life. And that's really what the insurance policy of a prenup talks about. One comment I wanted to say, David, too, before we get off track here. One of the topics or tips that I said, or we actually skipped, I think, was, you know, if young people, typically I don't advise for young people because they're starting out at the same level, they might have nothing or little debt, you know, but if you have a disproportionate amount of debt, I mean, we always think about assets to protect, but you know what, debt too. One person has student loans, right? And one of my clients had $150,000 in student loans, the other one had $25,000. You want a prenup to separate that because, you know, if you get divorced down the road and that person hasn't paid that debt off, guess what? They're going to come after you.
Well, we don't want that. Good point. Right. Good tip, Kimberly. Kimberly Foss, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, certified financial planner and certified private wealth advisor, founder of Imperium Wealth Management, imperiumwealth.com, and kimberlyfoss.com, and the book, Wealth by Design, a 5-step plan for financial security. Quick break, and we'll be right back with Kimberly.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got about 5 more minutes with Kimberly Foss. And I wanted to get to, Kimberly, you mentioned before the break about college debt or student debt. And I know you wrote about this also recently in financial planning, financial-planning.com. And I wanted to touch base on that if we could and talk about some of the big bullet items, so to speak. And we may have to have you come back another time and do another show on this. But what are some of the big things that we really need to make sure clients know about college costs and some of the things that are going on that you're seeing?
Yeah, there's basically 5 tips. There's $1.2 trillion in student debt, and that is not just a student problem. That's all of our problems. That's a huge amount of debt. So the 5 tips that I gave in this financial planning article was, you know, one, get real about the cash flow. I mean, people in 2008 said, oh, I've got it all, you know, all taken care of. You know, we've got a rental property. That's how we're going to pay for it. Then 2008 came, lost jobs, lost assets. They just didn't have the money. So get real about the cash flow and how you're really going to fund it. You know, if you're going to write the check, you know, make sure that you just have the money to be able to write the check. It may not be there. A second one really is, you know, think about college as an investment. I've always thought about this. I just recently had my stepdaughter basically graduated from NYU in 4 years, thank the Lord. And it was $240,000.
Good Lord.
You know, and we talked about this before she went to school, but you know, Sarah, you know, are you going to be able to get a job to be able to have a return on investment? And they can't just get married to, you know, they got accepted to a very prestigious school, which is great. But, you know, is this going to be in the real world? Are you going to be able to take that debt and basically get rid of that debt in a short period of time? Or are you going to be laden with that for years and years and years? So think about that as an investment, a return on investment. Number 3, I always say, you know, 3 S's, save early, save often, and save in a smart 529. I mean, even with wealthy, wealthy, wealthy clients, why wouldn't you do this? This grows tax-free, comes out tax-free, and you don't get the 3.8% medical tax. Mm-hmm. This is kind of crazy. No,
that's smart.
Finally, I always like to say, you know, especially my own 3 of the 4 that have been in school, they have skin in the game. You know, they either have loans, they are going to work 10 to 15 hours and have a part of it, or they're responsible for getting scholarships. So my oldest daughter, you know, $30,000 a year, she was responsible for $10,000 a year of her expenses through scholarships or working, and she had to pay that every year. And then finally, you know, talk it out. Talk this to your kids even before they go to college. My 10-year-old, I've been talking to him about colleges because everything I learned right on the first 3, I get to do over on my 10-year-old.
There you go.
So I talk to him now, and I talk to Jackson all the time about putting money away for college, putting away for savings and tithing and putting away for spending. And, you know, he's 10, and he gets the college, and he gets how much he has to save for it, and he's already in his mind. So we're setting good life lessons and fiscal responsibility about money when they're very young. And that's where our money styles are rooted, in it either being a saver or a spender. It's right there in that, you know, 5 to 15-year-old range. Not that you can't learn in the future, but that's really it starts. So talk to your kids about it. Statistics show that the more that you talk about it, the more that they're going to be able to take responsibility about helping their way through college.
Well, and I love the part, Kimberly, about either one way or another, you can either contribute, have that skin in the game, either contribute by earning scholarships, or if you don't do it that way, then you're going to need to roll up your sleeves and work for the money to make your contribution. And that's a nice juxtaposition of those two alternatives on how they're going to come up with their share and either study harder or work more.
Yeah, I mean, but it's part, they're going to, you know as well as I do, David, you know, anything that we work and sacrifice for in life, we treasure that much more. That's why we love our kids so much, because we have to sacrifice so much for them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we've already got the jars on the counter. They've got their saving jar, their spending jar, and their giving jar. And the saving jar, we're probably going to need to break it into a couple of smaller jars and have it a little more dedicated, one for college and one for certain things. But, you know, you are totally right, Kimberly, getting them started early. And that's the real key. And because this college debt thing is not going away, and we'll have to have you back to talk more about it in more detail, because it's a big subject. I'd like to thank Kimberly for being with us. Kimberly Foss, Certified Financial Planner, Certified Private Wealth Advisor, and more information over at KimberlyFoss.com and the book Wealth by Design, A 5-Step Plan for Financial Security. Kimberly, it's a real delight to have you on the program. We'll certainly do it again.
I would love to, David. I always love being on your show. Thank you so much. I'm very, very grateful.
All right. You're very welcome. And keep writing over at Financial Planning, financial-planning.com. Lots of great articles over there by Kimberly. And we appreciate her and appreciate her time. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you. Be well.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.